Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Go to Ephesians. This is going to be an interesting lesson this morning. You know, every time I read what the Holy Spirit wrote in these letters, it never ceases to amaze me how magnificent Father is and how He's created this thing called the body of Christ. And quite frankly, we really haven't scratched the surface on how in your face to darkness this body is. I mean, I saw some things this last week that, you know, it's God has a sense of humor, but He likes to rub darkness's face in it too. At least we forget. In fact, go over to Ephesians chapter 6, just to start off with. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, these are all very familiar verses of Scripture. I'm sure every verse we look at today will be familiar verses of Scripture, but that's a good thing. That means that you're in your Bible, which is good. Look at verse 12. Verse 11 is talking about the scheming of the devil. How many know he's a schemer?
Yeah.
How many know he's not real obvious?
Yeah.
Sometimes. That he works kind of behind the scenes. He's kind of subtle and he kind of brings thought processes into your thought process, and you know, you don't really realize that they're coming from him, but they are. So verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. How many of your problem is not the person sitting next to you? Look at the person next to you and say, you're not my problem. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of the spirit of the darkness. I'm reading out of the NASB, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I know we've read these before, but do you realize that these are all levels of organization? This is a hierarchy. How many know darkness is organized? But there's one challenge with this. How many have you ever worked for a company that every level was against the one above it? That's what these guys are. Do you think they actually have any peace of mind? They're even though they're all on the same side, they hate each other. They have so much strife one towards the other. This is how they are. This is what they are. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because go over to, let's see, where is it? Go over to, I believe it's Matthew. You're going to see some amazing things about the body of Christ today. Specifically, the microcosm, which is the local church. Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus said this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. And it's not this way among you." Now, where do they get this idea that they're supposed to lord it over them? Well, the King James says, principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. All those things we saw over in Ephesians, that's how they are with one another. You would say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that?" I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 13, go over there. Matthew 13. Actually, it's not 13, it's 16. Just testing you. Matthew 16. Notice what Jesus said here. We know the story. Jesus asked everybody, "So who does everybody say I am?" Peter pipes up and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "You're empowered to prosper. You're blessed because the heavens revealed this to you. No man has revealed this to you." And then he turns around and tells him what's going to happen with him. Peter pulls him aside and says, "No, I got a better idea." Aren't you glad Jesus didn't listen to Peter? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him in verse 22 and said, "God forbid, Lord, this should never happen to you." I mean, there's always folks that think they have a better idea. But if it's not a God idea, it's a no good idea. Verse 23, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." So understand this, that when Jesus talked about the natural man way of leading, and that's lording over the people under you, how many know that's coming straight out of hell? Jesus tied the two together. One influences the other. So when we read about all these levels of rankings of demonic forces, they're all on the same side, but they can't even get along. That must be a miserable environment. They hate God, they hate God's creation, but they hate each other too. So we understand from what Jesus has given us insight into that this is how it is with them. The people at the top of the food chain look down the nose at the ones below them, and everybody underneath them gets looked down upon by the ones above them. So, here's a challenge. Now go back over to Ephesians. Is it okay if we deal with some stuff today? I was going to anyway, whether you said yes or not. This whole letter is speaking about this magnificent creation called the body of Christ. And the thing that's really amazing about it, I mean, I was thinking about this, is the way Father designed for the body of Christ to function. It was supposed to be an in-your-face to all of darkness. Because they can't function this way. But the challenge is, if we don't function this way, then we're not showing them anything. We're just simply functioning like they function. In Ephesians chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, it talks about that Jesus was raised up in verse 20 and seated at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion. So he's above all those rankings. And every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, which tells us again, that which is true in the next age is true now. It doesn't suddenly change when we get there. It's true now. But he goes on to say he put all things in subjection under his feet. He gave him, speaking of Jesus, as head over all things, even the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills all in all. Now, here's the challenge that we have. It says the body is the fullness of the head. But that's just design, how it's designed to be. How do we get there? Well, we kind of brought this up last week. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, you're the fullness of him. But notice this. I mean, I could just start off at the beginning of chapter 4 and it would be good, but he's talking about one body, there's one spirit, there's one Father who's over all in verse 6 and through all and in all. So all of this has Father's fingerprint on it. And to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That phrase right there is going to be important later on in our discussion. But he goes on to say, therefore, he says, to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, the NASB says, or your margin says, he says, this all came from Father. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captive most of hosts of captives and he gave gifts to men. And we showed you last week that that's a quote from Psalm 68, where he actually, in Psalm 68, he says, he ascended on high, he led captive his captives, and he received gifts among men, even the rebellious, for the sole purpose of because he wanted to dwell. So we understand that Ephesians 1, when it said the body was the fullness of him. Well, the only way the body can be the fullness of him is if the body is allowing him to dwell. Can you see that? Because if we're not allowing him to dwell, then we're not the fullness of him, we're the fullness of us. So what your mom and daddy said, you're full of you, you're full of it. That wasn't a good compliment. But we want to be full of him, not full of us. So, starting off in Ephesians 1, he's talking about, first about the fact that in his presence, he's seen you holy and blameless in his presence. Then he describes you as the fullness of the head. And then in chapter 2, he says he's raised you up together and seated you together. Everybody say together. Now, does together mean you're under him, or does that mean together? Why would he go and do something stupid like that? Because he's not concerned about that. Because he doesn't function like the powers of darkness that are trying to guard their position, guard their ego, guard their whatever. If you've ever read anything, I'm not going to give you specifics today, but if you've read anything that came out of darkness, it's got so much ego and so much fear of being overturned or overthrown and so much self-preservation crap woven in that it's surprising they don't just destroy themselves. But see, Father, that's not what God governs Father. Father's not concerned one bit about it. He raised up Jesus, sat him right next to him, and when Jesus was raised up, Jesus turned around, raised you up, and sat you right next to him too. Now let me ask you a question. Just because you're seated next to Christ, does that mean you are him? Right, you're not. But do we ever have mindsets that basically say, well, I can do better than him? The answer is supposed to be no, so don't answer yes. I could do that better than him. I could do this better than him. I could run this thing better than him. The answer is no, we don't have those thoughts. Unless you're psycho. We don't have those thoughts. But yet he has no problem seating you next to him in heavenly places. So Ephesians 1 says you're the fullness of him. Ephesians 4, It says that all things came from the Father, through the Father, and He's in all. And we're from, in verse 7, Paul says we function from His grace or His presence and the working of His power that's been given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. He gave gifts to men. Now then he can skip down all that stuff and go to verse 10. He said the reason He gave those gifts to men is so that He might fill all things. Well, Ephesians 1 said you are the fullness of Him. So how is He going to bring you from the theoretical fullness of Him to actually be the fullness of Him? Because He didn't tell you that in Ephesians 1 just for us just to feel good about ourselves. He actually wants us to sit and live life from that place. You know, the fact that you're seated in heavenly places, that wasn't just said so we could all feel good about ourselves. He's wanting us to govern our life and live life with us and everybody else around us from that place of being seated. So how did He do that? How is He going to accomplish that? Well, He's going to accomplish that because in verse 11 of chapter 4, it says He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the what? One translation says for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, and you might as well just say into the fullness of Him. Because the letter does go there. So do you suppose that the perfecting of the saints, the saints moving up into and actually being the fullness of Him, the body being the fullness of the head, if you remove these offices and take them out of the picture, is the body going to get there? You sure? No is the right answer. Even though modern thought process says otherwise. But your Father put everything in Christ, and then Christ turned around and put everything in. And He gave the body. His gift to the body. Imagine this. His gift to the body is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And in modern thought process, the body says, we don't need that. Let's just go slug Jesus in the face. Say, we don't need that. But yet they came from Him. Does your Bible say that, or is that just my translation? Because I can, you know, I got a phone. Maybe the print's too small. But isn't it interesting how we read over these things and we discount these things and we just figure out I don't need these things? When we take on that mindset, folks, you might as well just settle it right here. You and Jesus do not agree. Bottom line, because they came from Him. Now, what do we do about abuses? Because that question has been raised, and it's a fantastic question, because how many know as long as we're in the flesh, in this earth suit, on this planet, somebody's going to do something stupid. So how do we handle that? Well, let's put this in other, because Jesus said, you know, the way that natural man rules is he always lords it over you. Well, that's no different. How many have ever been burned in the church? You have experienced being led by a natural man. Because that's what they do. Jesus said, this is the way a natural man runs. This is the way he runs things. He lowers it over you. So, you know, we've all had those kind of experiences. Well, being that Jesus already told us that this is the way a natural man runs things, it ought not to be a surprise. He's just telling on himself. Okay, so what do we do with these verses? Well, let me ask you. Let's put this because the natural thought process is the natural process is how many like being hurt? If you raise your hand, we have to have prayer. Nobody likes being hurt. Nobody likes being abused. Nobody likes being stepped on or whatever. So our natural response to that is, you know, and I guess it fits. It's not just no. you can fill in the blank. So we want to stay away from that as much as we can, as absolute, as much as we can. Well, since that's our natural process, well then how do we handle these verses? Because I didn't just type these in your Bibles before we got here yesterday or last week. They've been in there all the whole time. Now we've chosen to ignore them because we've been burned and we've been hurt and we don't like what they say, and especially the Western church. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for general thought processes in the Western mindset is, I don't want anything to do with this crap. And in fact, you know, this is the only subject that the world and the church seem to agree on. Well, that ought to tell you right there, that's twisted. But it still begs, what's the question? What do we do with this stuff? Well, let me ask you a question. Is not teaching what this says the answer? Because we've had so much abuse and so much stuff like this, or natural man, you know, bottom line, hurt people, and natural people, when that's all they're walking in is their own natural self, then it's all about self-preservation. It's all about, you know, I don't want to be hurt. And quite honestly, it's, you know, they're running in fear just as much as they're dishing it out. But does that mean we stop teaching these things? No, because the Spirit of God is saying in these verses is, if we want any prayer of coming into the fullness of Him, we have to have, the body has to function. There's a, as He says in this letter, we'll get to it, there's a proper working of the body. So if we don't allow the Spirit of God who put these words into print, got them through men, got them written down, if we don't align ourselves with this same thought process that He has and allow this culture to be set, then the body's not properly working. And therefore we can pet ourselves all we want to and say we're the fullness of Him, but you're not, because we're not. The fullness only functions in this environment. If somebody gets presented the gospel and they say no, in fact, let's just make it a little worse. Let's say you're out there in the streets and you were talking to someone about the gospel, and they reacted so adversely that they picked up rocks and everybody else joined them. And just because of your great athleticism, you were able to get out of there. Would that mean that God doesn't want everybody to be saved? Does that mean you should stop speaking what you were speaking because of the reaction? What about you know, you see in the Word that God loves to heal people, and He's the healer. So you start talking to people about being healed, and you start praying for them, and nobody gets healed. Does that mean you stop teaching on that? Well, then why do we talk? Why do we do that about this? It's in the same Bible, isn't it? See, if we're going to stop. If we're not going to teach and bring out things in the Word of God because culture has abused them, then really the tail's wagging the dog. And like I've said before, Ephesians chapter 4, I understand that, you know, believe me, I've been in this thing a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. Not as much as some, but I've seen some stuff. And it never ceases to amaze me how oblivious people in the body of Christ are to, in this context, how they're supposed to respond to the gifts that Christ has given them. Are we reading the same book? I have a pastor friend who said that one day he showed up to his church service and a guy comes up to him and he starts tapping him on the chest and he says, "If you want to talk to me, you just talk to me. Don't send me a note." And all the note said was, "Brother, I noticed you've been teaching honor, whatever you've been teaching in your men's group or whatever. You know, why are you how come you're the one that stays after and picks up and sets up and you're not getting anybody to help you? Get some folks to help you so they can be a part of what you're teaching them. Well, somehow in a way, this guy didn't appreciate that. So he decided he was going to go up to the gift of Christ that God put in his life, and he was going to start abusing it and talking to it like he didn't have any esteem, any value to it. Folks, I know we're not in the Old Testament, but I'd be running for the door. Really? The fact that it was even okay in this guy's mind that he's going to walk right up to his pastor and start tapping on him and get in his face. In what world do we live where that's ever going to be okay? It's not. But why do we see these things? Because there's a complete disregard for what these verses talk about. Again, I know there's abuses out there. But see, this is where the Spirit of God, if we're going to be mature believers, this is where the Spirit of God is requiring us to walk in what He's given us. And that is, A, I gave you my nature. My nature, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, believes the best of everyone. Does it say that? Yes. Then He gave you Himself so that you would have discernment, so that you can discern things from your spirit, not from your own mind or your emotions, because they'll lie to you. But according to the Spirit of God, He's given you the ability to not walk in the dark. Right? Again, it's not according to your emotions, because your emotions will take up sides for you and they'll say, you're right and you're always right and He's not right. That's not Holy Spirit at all. Now, if there's a basis in the Word and you're not twisting it out of context, then you got some grounds to stand on. But there's a way we handle it. Right? So, here in Ephesians chapter 4, He wants to fill all things with Himself. So the very first thing He does is He gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. I like the word perfecting of the saints actually better. It's probably what it really actually means. But if the saints are going to be perfected, that means they have to be perfected in love. Right? Because there is no perfecting. If we're not, that's why it said in chapter 1, it talked about you in the past, with the existing results, you now are rooted and grounded in love. You have to, it's in the passive tense. You have to allow yourself to be rooted and grounded in love. And if you're not going to live and you're not going to understand that just like in darkness, there's levels of authority and He's expecting us. And this is what's so amazing about what He's done with the body of Christ is everybody is equal. But He gives the choice to you whether you're going to submit up under and value the level of authority He's placed over you. It's all choice. But understand, because it's all choice, think about your choice. Because whether or not you ever step into the fullness of Him will depend on whether you make that choice or not. It is amazing. So there's a level of, I'll show you, this is just amazing. Verse 13 in chapter 4 talks about for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of faith and the revelation knowledge of that which the Son has, into a mature man. That sounds like the fullness of Him, doesn't it, to you? Which is the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Okay, now go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Here's the challenge that we have, folks. When we read these scriptures, if we've had any experiences adversely at all, it raises big old mondo red flags. But again, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because you won't do that for salvation. You won't do that for healing. You won't do that for any other subject. Why would you do it for this one? What we need to do is find out what's the truth on this deal. Because that's where the fullness of God is. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my whole life and not experience the fullness of Him until I get there. Since He told you at the beginning of the letter that the fullness of Him is available now just as much as it is in the age to come, right? So in chapter 2, it says, He made you alive together with Him. He seated you with Him. Isn't that amazing? He seated you with Him. Not under Him, but with Him. Verse 10, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. But the issue, okay, so now how are we going to fulfill those? Well, it's certainly not going to be separate from ministry that would flow through the fivefold ministry. Is it? Because their purpose is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Look at this. Verse 15, he says he made one new man. Verse 16, he reconciled everyone into one body to God. And verse 17, he came and preached peace to those who were far away, which they were esteemed far away by the religious community, and those who were near. Verse 18, for through him, let me say through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. See, brother, I told you I don't need nobody else. I got direct access to the Father just like anybody else does. I don't need no fivefold ministry. Except for He says you do. So it must have something to do. The ministry that flows through them must have something to do with the rest of the body coming into and walking up into the fullness of who they really are. Look at this. Through Him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Verse 19. So that you're no longer strangers, aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Everybody say God's household. Now, how many know in a household there are expectations of behavior? Right? I know in mine there was. Maybe y'all are just free and whatever, but in mine there was certain expectations of behavior. 1 Timothy 3:15, he says this. He said, Paul said, I'm writing you these things to Timothy. Now, Timothy was who? Timothy was a pastor of a universal church. Is that what it was? No, he was a pastor of a local church. Happened to be the largest local church ever, which is 100,000 people, up to recent days. But in his day, it was 100,000 people. But he was a pastor of a local church. Everybody say local. He says, I'm writing you these things that you'll know, 1 Timothy 3:15, that you'll know how you ought to conduct, how one ought to conduct himself in the what? Household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So there's a certain expectation of behavior. It's not every man for himself. Here's the thing that's so amazing. The magnificent thing that Father did when He created the body of Christ. And understand something, folks, and you've got to go here and you're thinking, otherwise you're not being consistent with the Spirit of God and you're looking for loopholes. It's time we recognize the things that are in our hearts that are causing us to look for loopholes. Because every time we are trying to look for a loophole, then we're essentially saying, Jesus, I don't agree with you. I don't want to walk this way. It's not comfortable for me. Instead, let's just say, you know what? I got some things, Lord, that are bugging me about this whole deal, but I still want to live with you. And I want you to show me how to think on this thing, because I want to be in step with you 100% of the way. And if I need to get free from some things that have been done to me, then I want to get free from those things, because at the end of the day, I want to agree with you. Ephesians 4:25 says we're all members of one another. That is amazing. But here's the challenge. And you have this happen in natural. This is the way natural men are. You can become so familiar with somebody, you forget that they are a leader. Right? Is it okay if we deal with this stuff, or should I just stay on fluffy stuff? You can become so familiar with somebody, you forget that God has assigned them as a leader. I remember the first time I walked into, I had this job, and it was a good job. I enjoyed it. And I walked into this my boss's office, and he wasn't just my boss, he was my boss's boss. And I walked into his office, and here's a guy that he recruited me. So I thought, hey man, me and him are like this. This is when I was young and dumb. And so I went in his office, you know, he wanted to talk to me about something. So I went in his office and I started looking at stuff on his desk, and he had little, you know, how they put little trinkets and things, little statues or whatever, nameplates or sayings or, you know, little statue, whatever. And so I just reached down and I picked one up and I was just looking at it. He looked at me and he said, Dan, just because I invited you in here doesn't mean I'm just letting you just pick up anything on my desk. Those things belong to me. Oh, sorry. Now, was he out of line? No, he wasn't out of line. Was I out of line? Yeah. You know why? Because I got so comfortable with him and me that I stepped over a line that I wasn't allowed to step over. He didn't invite me over that line. But because we get so familiar with people, sometimes we forget who we're talking to. And these things aren't okay with Jesus. But see, the flip side of that is, it goes both ways. This is what I think is so amazing about the body of Christ. Everybody is at the same level. Everybody is here. There's not Jesus, the fivefold, and then you. Everybody's here. But in this organism called the body, he set certain ones as leaders. And then he says, now, this is going to be your heart test. How are you going to respond to that? How are you going to choose? And you get to choose. How are you going to interact with them? How are you going to speak to them? Let me ask you a question. If, from your understanding of the gospel, if in this environment, in this relationship of fivefold ministry gifts versus, you know, what we call the saints, specifically in, say, a local church, if the people, let's just say there's, you know, this is hypothetical. Let's say there's a group of folks that really are treating their leadership like dirt. I'm not talking about here, just in general. Is it okay for that leadership to take on the attitude, well, up here is, I'm not going to associate with you ever again? Is that your expectation? Would it be okay for the leadership to act that way? Well, then why is it, if you flip it around, why is it okay that way? Because we're all one body. We're all members one of another. And don't throw that way, well, there's a higher expectation for leadership. We're all one body. So our the environment as a whole is equal for everybody. The expectations are different for folks that are in leadership, but that doesn't ever create an environment where if it's not okay for the leadership to respond to the saints that way, then if you turn it around, you're both still in the same environment because you're all members one of another. It's never okay for the saints to respond to leadership that way either. I'll stand back over here. So Jesus gives us the opportunity, because we're all members one of another in the body. That's good. But we have to understand that there are places of leadership that Jesus himself has put within the local church, that he is putting in there as a heart test. The local church in general is a heart test for every believer. Because otherwise, what is there? I mean, we could all walk around and say, I love Jesus. How do we know? We don't. That's why there's things that he's placed in the body that you get a choice. It's completely free will. But understand, according to whatever that choice will be, that will determine and show everyone what's really in your heart. And whether or not we'll step over into the fullness of him or not. I want the fullness of him. So, Ephesians chapter 2, again it says we're seated together with him. But yet Ephesians 1 said he's head over all. So even in the kingdom of heaven there's rankings. There's positions of leadership. Just like darkness. Darkness is not... Understand, guys, everything darkness does, they're copying. They don't have anything original. They've never done anything original in their whole life. The only problem is, everything they copy sucks because they can't do it. So you got the low-level devils are the most hated of any of them because they're the low-level devils. And they got no respect at all. And they hate everybody above them. But in the kingdom of God, we're all one unit, just like darkness is all one unit. But in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, specifically in a local church even setting, because that's the gospel, the vehicle, you saw it in 1 Timothy, and there's no way around that either, folks. The bottom line is, he's about the local church, and that's what he's about, period. I know we can try to use rationale to say, well, no, he's working through somebody else now. That sounds a lot like, well, he's done with Israel. It's all about the church now. That's not true either. So anytime you have that mindset coming out of people of the body of Christ, Paul wrote a whole chapter in chapter 9 in Romans about the issue of, don't you dare say that God's done with them, because that's not true. For this season, he's grafted you in. So that mindset's been around for a long time. It just keeps jumping from one subject to another. So it doesn't matter whether it's talking about he's done with Israel and it's all about the church. That's wrong. He's done with the fivefold. It's all about the people now. That's wrong too. It's the same mindset. It's just jumped from one subject to another. The whole mindset, well, I can do this better myself. That sounds a lot like a guy that used to be a part of Kingdom of Heaven, and he decided one time that he could do it better himself. So he exalted himself. And God spiked that boy down as hard as he could. And he's smarted for it ever since. See, it all comes from the same source. Just got different clothes on it. But so he seated us together in heavenly places, so there's an equality there, but yet he's the head over all. It's pretty amazing. Now, let's take that over in same letter, Ephesians. It says, husbands and wives are, well, in 1 Peter, Peter said from the Spirit of God, husbands and wives are co-heirs together. That's this, right? But Ephesians, the same Holy Spirit, said, wives, respect your husbands. That's a choice. And he likens the body of Christ and Christ's relationship to the relationship of husbands and wives. Even though they're equal, there's a choice of respect and honor going upward. Right? You read the writings of Peter, the Holy Spirit wrote through him, and nowhere in there does it ever say, okay, wives, forget about your husbands, they're just dumb. You can go straight to Jesus, your own self. Now, I'm not saying that they're your go-between. That's not what I'm saying at all. So don't say that. But he still says, the Holy Spirit still says, you're in an environment of equality, but I want you to make the choice to reverence your husband. And then in turn, he says, husbands, you need to love your wives just like Christ loves the church. So it puts it back on equality. But yet there's still a level of leadership and there's still a voluntary opportunity. So we all have equal access to the Father. That's true. Because the body of Christ, we're all one. We're all one member of another. But yet in that body, the Father has set up heart checks for us that we willingly can make a decision to reverence and honor those that He's placed in leadership above us. Ephesians 5:29 says that the husband is supposed to nourish and cherish the wife just like Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. How did Christ nourish and cherish the church? Well, he told you already in chapter 4. He set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. That's how he nourishes and cherishes the church. Jesus said that the way that the natural man functions in leadership is it's all twisted up and he exercises authority over people and he elevates himself over people. And, but Jesus said it's not that way for you in verse 26 of Matthew 20. He said, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be a servant. And all the people in the seat said, amen, brother. But that means everybody else too. Because the environment in the body is everybody's the same. So if those that are leaders are supposed to serve, then those that are being served are supposed to serve. See, anytime we get any of this out of whack, it screws up and hurts people. How many of you have been in church where the people in the seats expected the pastor to do everything? Come on, I know you have. I know there's at least one out there because I've been to that church. But the mindset of, we pay you, it's your job. That's twisted. But it's just the same twisted as the leader saying, come on, man. You're supposed to do this and do this and do this and do that and do this. Here's my keys. Go wash my car. Clean my shoes. And when you're done with that, go get me lunch. That's twisted. Because in the body, just like in a marriage, everybody's here. But yet, in this environment, he's placed leadership roles in this environment for people to have to make a choice on whether they're going to submit up under and serve them out of willingness, not out of compulsion. And he's saying, if you'll be willing to do that, then you're going to allow me to bring you over into the fullness of what I am. Because without that, you won't go there. Because you cannot bypass anything that he's set down and expect to arrive in the destination he's designed for you without going through and living in the environment that he's set up and established. Otherwise, there's no heart checks for you. But he still knows what's in there. And I'm not saying that to be a bad thing. The fact is, folks, look, let's just get real. We all know that human beings, if we're left to ourselves, we'll walk in our natural man more than anything else. He wants to get you out of your natural man and get you into him so that you can live like you were created to live in the first place. Because that's why he said it's by what every joint supplies. Well, it doesn't really say that. It really says by every supply of the joints. And we could say in the context of that writing, we could say the joints he's speaking of were the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Because he goes on to say, and your margin will say this, not your text. Your margin will say something to the effect of, according to the working of the measure. Well, Paul just told you that he was speaking to them according to the measure of Christ's gift. He was an apostle. He stood in the office of apostle and prophet. Folks, look, it doesn't matter the face that's in those offices. What matters is how are you going to respond to the office? I've had people sit and look at me in the face and say, well, I don't, speaking of somebody in the fivefold ministry, well, I don't have any respect for him. That's not your choice to make. Your choice is to respect the office. I don't care about the guy. I respect the office. Because you didn't put him there. Isn't it amazing David's response to Saul? David had every right to go and just off Saul. He had so many opportunities. The dude's taking a leak in a cave right next to him. He could have killed him right then. But he had enough presence about him to recognize, I may not like the guy, but I understand that at this moment he's standing in the office of a king. I'm not going to touch him. And see, the challenge is, folks, in the Western world at least, we've gotten far too comfortable, far too liberal, far too, I'm free indeed. And we don't realize that we don't have a right to speak against an office. Because you didn't put those there. He did. We can dislike the people all we want to. But the proper culture in the body of Christ is, even if you don't like the person, just be quiet. Why should I be quiet? Because Jesus, if you start talking and Jesus is already talking, he's not saying what you're saying. Because he refuses to come off of what he says that person is. Doesn't the word say that all we do it as unto the Lord? Right? So if we're doing it as unto the Lord, why are we getting bent out of shape if somebody else doesn't notice? You're not supposed to be doing it for them. You're doing it for him. See, everything is a heart check. I've walked up on conversations where people are like dissing some pastor across town as if they had a right to do that. Why are we doing that? Because we don't understand. In the body of Christ, yeah, we're all here. But he's placed some in the body, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I got news for you, folks. Just because, for example, just because we prophesy doesn't mean we're in the office of a prophet. So don't start acting like you got all that, because just because you prophesy doesn't mean you're in that office. We need to understand the mindset of Jesus, and we need to understand that if we're gonna be his body, we better be thinking like his head. And I told you last week, you know what? This is tough for me because I'm one of those guys. But should I stay away from it just because it makes people uncomfortable and because we've all been abused at some point or another? I can't. I don't care about any other church in this city. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've done to people. I don't care who they are. I don't care who's at the top of the food chain. I don't care about any of that. It's not any of my business. What is my business is what I'm accountable for is what in kind of environment that I allow to be in this church. Because this is the only church that my Father has put me accountable for. I'm not accountable for anybody else's actions. I'm not accountable for any of that. I'm only accountable for what environment that he's telling us we're supposed to have and whether or not I teach that. Our challenge is we've read the New Testament a little bit with too many blinders because of things that have happened in the natural world. Because it's all over the scriptures. I don't, you know, for the sake of time, I don't have time for a lot of it. But, I mean, Paul told the church in Corinth, it's not a big thing for me to be judged by you. Why, you arrogant so-and-so. Wait a minute, that's in scripture. Was that statement ordained by the Spirit of God? Was it? He said it. So then why are you reacting that way for? Because what came out of his mouth was from the Spirit of God. So it must be okay. I realize this is kind of heavy, guys, but you know what? Look, he's trying to get us to a good place. In 2016, he's trying to get us to a place that maybe you've never experienced that before. But what it's going to take, it's going to take every one of us to be willing to walk and stand in the place that he's called us to walk and stand and act accordingly and interact accordingly. Because there's somebody out there that has never stepped foot in here, that as soon as they step foot in here, because we've allowed the Spirit of God to create this culture that he has written down on our pages of our Bible, they're going to say, man, I have never experienced this kind of unity in my life. What did Paul say in the letter to the Ephesians? Guard the unity of the Spirit. Well, do you think the unity of the Spirit doesn't include the fivefold ministry gifts that he just mentioned? When Dan walks in here next week, you say, well, he's just nothing but a missionary. You sure? What's an apostle? What's one who stands in the office of an apostle? Missionary. They're equipped and sent out. I know we will. I say, you know, I say you we because I won't be here, but at some point I will be. We're going to honor him and value him as the office he stands in. He may not say he stands in that office, but I'm saying he does. And anybody else we ever have through the doors, or anybody else you ever go stand in front of, we'll have a culture that we value and honor those who stand in the office they stand in. Believe me, nobody very, very rarely has experienced that kind of environment. Let me just close with this. You guys okay? I'm glad two people are. Paul said, the authority that's been given to me is to build you up and not tear you down. Second Peter 5, Peter's talking to the elders and he says, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. I love that. Here's a guy that's an apostle of the Lamb, and he's talking to these other guys. He's saying, we're fellow elders together. And in the text, there's no capital E, little e. It's all little e. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercise and oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. You got that because Jesus said this is the way we function. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive an unfading crown of glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says this by the Spirit of God. We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions. Notice that the leaders are supposed to give instructions. Notice it doesn't say value them as long as they agree with you. That you may esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who have given account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So can you see by the Spirit of God that there is, even though we're all one body, we're all members one of another, that obviously there are some levels of authority within that body. And the respect goes both ways. But I got news for you, folks. Here's the thing. Just as he said, all that you do it as unto the Lord. He's the only one qualified to say whether that leader you have did something wrong. Did you hear what I just said? He's the only one qualified to say whether that leader that you have or that you stood in front of or that whatever, did something wrong. Paul said, it's no big thing for me to be judged by you. I don't even judge my own self. But when he brings things to my attention, I make the adjustment. So the bottom line is the ultimate source of determining whether something was done wrong or whatever is on him. Because everything you're doing is, you're doing it as unto him anyway, right? So therefore, here's the thing. That's the great equalizer, because what happens is, see, if he's not the one that determines who got done wrong, who didn't get done wrong, then everybody has their own individual standard of what's wrong. Dear Jesus. No fivefold ministry gift will ever live up to that. How many have ever heard this? Well, you should have done this, and you should have done that, and you should have, you should have, you should have. According to whose standard? Because if Jesus isn't saying that, then you don't have any right to say that. Because your standard doesn't count. And it goes the other way, too. How can leadership say, well, you should have done this, and you should have that, and you should have this, that, and the other, if that's not what he's saying, how we're supposed to lead. He keeps everything equal. But at the same time, he always gives us the opportunity to make a choice to honor and value those that are placed in leadership over us so that he can bring us over into the fullness. Because every time you make that choice, he gets to take something in your heart and make it be right. And he moves you up. Moves you up. Moves you up. The body of Christ is the most magnificent thing that Jesus could have ever done. And it is so, no wonder it says that the reason the body of Christ, he put the body of Christ here so that all of the principalities and powers would get to view firsthand the wisdom of God. Because if the body is functioning in sync with the head, then everybody's here, which darkness already doesn't understand. But then because he's placed leadership within that body, and then everybody chooses to submit up under that. And the respect flows both ways. It's like, darkness is like, how does this even work? That's why it's impossible, but that's why we got to live in Him. We can't live in ourselves.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.